The government got a restraining order. Yes, they went and procured a restraining order against the NLC, stopping us from embarking on our strike. We were in talks with them, so we have been able to extract some framework for further discussions. And the return date for the court is on the 19th. And on the 19th, we'll be meeting with them again to see how to get some grip on the subsidy removal situation.
Now, when you say the government issued a restraining order, what does that mean?
They went to the National Industrial Court and obtained a court injunction stopping the NLC from proceeding on the strike. It was gotten ex parte. We were not put on notice. We were not heard. The court only listened to the government and then gave its order. So that situation is with our lawyers. They are studying it, and we'll follow up on that on the legal front.
I think one of the questions you addressed the other day was, why not give the incoming president some time before you can go on strike?
He didn't give himself some time before he made the pronouncement he made. He was the one who didn't give himself an opportunity. He was the one who made a pronouncement that caused quite an upheaval within the polity, particularly on the ordinary poor people, the working people.
If the government suspends the fuel subsidy, what is the likely impact on the ordinary people?
It's massive. You recall Nigeria has been grappling with the challenge of insecurity. Clearly, there's a tendency that might be impacted because most livelihoods are going to be lost. Nigerian economy, the informal sector, is driven by SMS, by PMS, petrol. Be it tiny generators for vulcanizing, for head salons, for tailoring. In a country where the electricity density is very low, you then realize that people had become their own providers of what would have been public energy supply, and that they have done using PMS. There is no formal public transport system in Nigeria. It's individual-based, funded taxis, buses, and people surviving basically on a daily basis. So everything gradually is tripling in terms of costs. And there's no economy in the world that can handle that. There's no populace in the world that can handle a 300% increase. It's like a war situation. So if nothing happens very rapidly, of course, people's livelihood is going to be impacted. People's standard of living is going to be impacted. The fallout of that in a troubled, security-challenged country is better imagined.
You met with the incoming government. We understand that the talks were continuing. What happened in the talks?
We are trying to find out from them what are the immediate, what are the intermediate, and what are the long-time measures they intend to put up to handle this situation. Clearly, what they have is very mega. It's not heartwarming, but the talks continue.
Now, with the injunction, what will happen next?
We hope to have our lawyers discharge that so that we'll be able to discuss go on further with the discussions with less pressure. But also, where that fails and discussions don't go too well, the government has ingeniously taken the initiative out of our hands and basically placed it in the hands of unorganized actors.